Hey, morning church. I'm here to read the scriptures from Exodus 35 and Exodus 36. Exodus chapter 35, verse 1. Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. For 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day." Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones, and stones for setting, for the effort, and for the breastpiece." Verse 10, "Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hook and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat, and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light, with its utensils and its lamp, and the oil for the light, and all in the altar of incense, with its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, and the screen for the door and the door of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests." Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Chapter 36. Bezalel and Oholiab, and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary, shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Oholiab, and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jeremy, for reading God's Word. Last week, as you have heard from Elder Aaron, you said that a pastor had to cover 7 chapters in one sermon, and that he should be relieved that he only had to cover 3. Well, pastor gave me a senior citizen discount. I only have to do 1 1/4, and I'm grateful. Let's go to God in prayer before we begin. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we want to look into, as we look into your word, may you speak to us to enlighten and teach us that our lives may be transformed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1998, a local producer and comedian hit an all-time record when he launched the movie Money No Enough. Jack Neill's film stayed as the highest-grossing film for 5 years, from 1998 to 2012. It was not really a surprise for such a record because the title of the movie was catchy and it resonated with a lot of people who feel that money is never enough. But if we think about it, it is this kind of thinking that reflects a worldly mentality that doesn't understand who the true God is. In today's message, we shall discover that our God, our Savior and Provider, has the answers that will meet our greatest and innermost needs of our lives. He is a God who provides much more than enough. The passage we are covering today contains many details that pertains to the construction of the tabernacle, or the house of worship of God. And it may make for laborious reading for some because of the difficulties that we have in visualizing how the tabernacle and its various objects, worship objects, look like. The passage also seemed to be a repetition of Exodus 25. The difference is that in Exodus 25, God was giving Moses the instructions. Over here, Moses is passing on the instructions to the Israelites. In looking at all these details that are contained in the passage, one thought that should cross our minds is how much God cares about the details of our lives. We should be grateful that we have a God who is not distant from us, nor is he superficial in his dealing with us, but one who intimately cares for and provides for our daily needs. In this passage, we shall learn not just about the construction of the tabernacle, but how God wants to deal with us in any undertaking for the kingdom of God. We shall see, firstly, the participation that he wants from us. Secondly, the providence that we can trust him for. And thirdly, the profusion in a manner that he enables his work to be carried out. Firstly, participation. Exodus 35 opens with Moses gathering the entire congregation of Israel to remind them of the fourth commandment, that 6 days they shall work, but on the seventh day they shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest and keep it holy to the Lord. And just in case some of them may think that lighting a fire is not work, Moses makes it very clear that even that is considered work. Anyone who disobeys the commandment shall be put to death. This warning should remind us of the incident that is recorded in Numbers 15, verses 32 to 36, of a man who was put to death for disobeying the commandment on Sabbath day. On the surface, this entire instruction seems incongruous with the subsequent text of building the tabernacle. What has obeying God in keeping the Sabbath got to do with performing the task of building the tabernacle? The answer lies in the principle of simple obedience. Moses is telling the Israelites here that if they can't even obey God in a simple manner of keeping the Sabbath, then don't bother doing anything further in building the house for the Lord. It is not about the doing that pleases God. It is about the keeping of God's commandment that pleases him. But Sabbath also points to a bigger picture of the gospel message. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. It is not by works that we are saved. To please God, we must first enter into the rest in Jesus. It is in trusting Jesus and resting in his accomplished work on the cross that saves us. It is from this faith in Christ that we now do good works that flows out of our gratitude of what Christ has done for us. So in verse 4, Moses calls out to the entire congregation, "Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skin, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece." There is also a call for skilled craftsmen to come forth, to give of their skills and talents in craftsmanship, in making objects for the tabernacle, such as the ark, the utensils, the lampstands, and the weaving of garments. The beginning of Moses' instructions echoes Exodus 25, verse 2, when God told Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel, that they take a contribution. From every man whose heart moves him, you shall receive a contribution for me." There are three things that stand out in Moses' instructions to the Israelites. Firstly, the call is made to all believers and not just to some specific individuals. God wants the participation of all of us, not just some of us. Secondly, there's a range of things that they can contribute, ranging from easily available goat's hair to precious onyx stones. There's no requirement to give the most valuable things like precious stones, but there's surely something that everyone can give, like even goat's hair, which is plentiful. So God makes it possible for everyone to participate in one form or other. Thirdly, this is a free will offering. Whoever is of a generous heart, or from every man whose heart moves him, there is no coercion to participate. There are no persuasive speeches here to tug at the purse strings of the people. God doesn't compel our participation, but he's pleased when we participate in his work. In his grace, it is his grace that allows us to participate in his grand scheme of redemption through the gospel and worship. The call by Moses also echoes what Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So if you are going to pull a long face when the offering bag comes around, please pass it on. God doesn't need our money because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The creator of the whole world doesn't need to live in a tent made by hands of men. He can create out of thin air something more marvelous and magnificent, which is called the universe. But in his grace, he chose to have fellowship with us and to dwell in us. In verse 20, after having given the congregation the instruction, Moses let them go home to think about what he said and to reflect on the message that they have heard. Moses didn't lock them up till midnight, until all the collections have been gathered before letting them go. There is no manipulation or guilt feeling created by Moses to give to God. They are to consider in their own hearts what they're prepared to contribute. This is God's work to be done God's way. In contrast, man's way look very different. When the Israelites lost their patience in waiting for Moses to come down from Mount Sinai in Exodus 32, they wanted Aaron to make them a graven image of God. Aaron asked them to immediately take off all the gold rings and jewelry in their hands and ears so that he can make a golden calf. Everything was done at the spur of the moment without careful consideration and contemplation. God could have done everything himself, but in his grace, he invites us to partner with him to participate in his work, a work that is ultimately for our benefit. Secondly, providence. The people went home. They thought about it, discussed it, and came back with their offering. Verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him. Verse 22 went on to say, so they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart. They brought brooches, earrings, signet rings, armlets, and all sorts of gold, silver, and bronze objects. Others who had blue or scarlet yarns or fine linen brought these yarns, even just goat's hair or ram skins or goat skins. In verse 27, the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be used for the ephod and for the breastpiece of the high priest. So what we can see clearly is that all the people responded to Moses, men and women, by giving a variety of things that are needed for the construction of the tabernacle as well as garments that are needed by the priests. Each one of them responded in their free will offering in their own way. They gave what they could. Those who had earrings or whatever gold objects gave those objects so that they can be melted down to make gold cups that are needed for the use of worship in the tabernacle. Others could only give simple things like goat's hair or goat skin, gave those which are equally necessary for the making of robes and curtains to be used in the tabernacle. But those who were more successful and wealthier, like the leaders of the tribes, gave more valuable and precious objects as their contributions, the onyx stones and the various precious stones that are used to set in the breastpiece of the high priest. The leaders didn't give goat's hair, or the poor gave onyx stones. Each of them gave what was in their capacity to give and how they were moved by God to give. God is not expecting anyone to give beyond what they are able. Each one of us are called to contribute out of our free will, and we should do it with preparation, purpose, and joy. our offering to God is a form of worship. By giving to God, we show that we acknowledge that everything that we have comes from Him and that we're trusting Him to provide for our daily needs. How we perceive and use our financial resources for God's purposes is important in how we relate to God. We need to remember that money can be a powerful servant when used wisely. Money is a great tool to advance the gospel, support the missionaries, plant churches, broadcast the gospel, and provide for the needs of the church. So those who have more financial resources ought to give more to the kingdom of God. This is just good stewardship of the manifold resources that God has entrusted to us. It is also important that we do not misconstrue the message and take things to the extreme, that we give only when moved by God. There is a place for regular and consistent giving to support the activities of the church. This helps the church to plan its various activities and ministries more effectively and not just rely on ad hoc or erratic giving. That is why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you are to do also. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up." People are usually captivated to give to grand objects or tangible purpose that they can see. However, there are many things that are done by the church in serving the congregants that are unseen, intangible, and oftentimes cannot be quantified. Like tending to the emotional, spiritual, and material needs of members, missionaries, and evangelism. Resources need to be set aside for the purposes of staffing. It is not a mutually exclusive thing to call for free will offering and yet remind ourselves that it's always good to honor God with our wealth. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your produce." You often hear of our worship presider saying, just before the offering is taken, that we give not in expectations of any return from God, as though it's some sort of a transaction, but that we give because God first gave His Son to us for the redemption of our sins. All this is true. However, what is equally true are the principles that are laid out in the Bible. Just as before Paul exhorts the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, to give what each has decided in his heart, he also prefaced it in verse 6 by saying this. Verse 6, "Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." This is not to suggest that the reaping will come in a material sense, but it can come in many forms, both spiritual or material, or in whatever ways God so determines. But the principle of sowing and reaping is an undeniable truth. This is entirely consistent with Proverbs 11, verse 24, which says this: "One gives freely and yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and suffer want." So let's consider carefully how we are stewarding the financial resources that God has entrusted to each one of us. The giving is not just confined to material goods. Moses also called the Israelites to give up their skills, talents, and time to design, make, and weave all the items that are necessary for the setting up of the tabernacle. The work of creating the tabernacle is a high calling, and it required skilled designers and craftsmen. Moses highlighted two individuals who were uniquely gifted for this purpose. In verse 30, "Then Moses said to the people of Israel, 'See, the Lord has called my name, Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, that he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with craftsmanship, to devise artistic design, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for the setting, and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft.'" So this guy, Bezalel, is uniquely blessed by God with a gift in being highly skilled in design and craftsmanship, in working on objects of gold, silver, and bronze, and in cutting stones. But he's not the only guy that God has placed special talents and skills in. There's another one by the name of Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. He is highly skilled in the areas of engraving and doing embroidery works and weaving. However, if it was only these two guys who were doing all the work of building the building of the tabernacle would have taken a lot longer to complete. What Moses said in verse 34 is very interesting. God has not only blessed Bezalel and Oholiab with this special skill set, he has also inspired them to teach others. So Bezalel and Oholiab didn't just do all the work themselves, but they led, direct, and taught others how to do the work so that more people could participate in the work of the Lord and more could be accomplished in an efficient manner. Too often, we fail to appreciate the skills, the talent that we employ in our work in the marketplace. They can have relevance in the service of the Lord. It's easy to think of contributing our musical talent in serving in the worship team because that is very direct and apparent. However, what about those of us with leadership, planning, administrative, writing, artistic, or social media skills? You can contribute towards our outreach and evangelism programs too. Have you considered how you can use your skills and talent that God has blessed you with for the work of His kingdom, to bless others and to bring more unsaved souls to the kingdom of God? Sometimes we also fail to appreciate that far more important than our personal contribution itself is our ability to teach others on how to do the job or how to do it well. By teaching and instructing others, we expand our collective capacity to do more for the kingdom of God. So in the various capacity of your service to the Lord, how can you teach someone else and bring another alongside to enlarge your capacity and effectiveness in serving God? If you have a desire to serve God, but not currently in any ministry yet, as pastor has just made a calling, do approach Pastor or Joe, and they will gladly suggest an area that you can contribute, where you can contribute your time, talent, or skills in service to the Lord. So the Israelites came forth with their contribution of both material goods and service. But if you think about it, they were previously slaves. How did they acquire the objects of gold, silver and bronze, and precious stones? Was it not God who blessed them with favor that the Egyptian gladly handed over all these treasures to the Israelites as they were leaving Egypt? This is found in Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have whatever they asked. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. At the end of the day, is it not God who made all this giving and contribution possible through His providence? So, in any endeavor for God, we can have every confidence that God will provide all the necessary resources to accomplish His will and to achieve His intended purpose. Thirdly, profusion. The sovereignty of our God is seen not just in His ability to provide, but also how profusely He provides to fulfill His higher purpose. After the call that Moses made, the people began bringing in their contributions the following morning and every morning. Verse 36, verse 3 to 6 reads, "And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought forth for doing the work on the sanctuary. They kept bringing him freewill offering every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing all sorts of every sort of task on the sanctuary came, and each from the task that he was doing and said to Moses, 'The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do.'" How often have you heard fundraisers saying, "Stop, don't bring any more, we have much more than enough"? Perhaps the only organization I can think of that will say something remotely close to this is the Salvation Army. But this is not because the people will bring the Salvation Army, but this is because the people will bring in the Salvation Army too much junk and garbage, not gold bars, that overflowed the entire premises, especially just before Chinese New Year, when people usually do their spring cleaning. The Israelites brought their contributions every morning to Moses. Some could be quick to respond, others needed more time to think, plan, and prepare the contributions. Yet others could be thinking on the subsequent mornings that they could do more, and so they went on to make additional contributions. But the contributions were too much. It was beyond what was needed, so much so that the artisans and the craftsmen who were responsible for each of the respective areas had to tell Moses that they had more than enough to do what the Lord has commanded them to do. In Exodus 36, verse 6, Moses had to issue a command to the people to stop everyone from bringing any more to the temple. In fact, verse 6 says this, that they had to be restrained from bringing. I wonder if it was a case of the elders having to push the people back from giving or calling in crowd control. That would appear strange in our minds. What about those who gave late? What would they be thinking? Have they taken too long to consider in their hearts to give? Have they missed the opportunity to participate in God's plan and missed the blessings? The contributions were not just more in some areas and lacking in others. The people gave much more than enough for everything that's needed for the building of the tabernacle. But who is the source of the supply? Is it not God who supplied? Yet God allowed the people to take the credit, that they were the ones who gave much more than enough. Ordinarily, when contributions pour in to the point of being excessive, the tendency is for the organizers to start entertaining thoughts that perhaps the project can be upsized to make a bigger tabernacle, a grander church, etc. Moses and the people involved in the construction of the tabernacle had no such thought because they started with the right understanding and commitment to follow exactly what the Lord had commanded them to do. This was the reason why Moses had to emphasize from the very beginning that obedience is far more important to God than the contributions and the works. When God provides, He provides profusely over and beyond what is needed for the task in fulfilling the purpose that He has for His kingdom on earth. God now invites each one of us to participate in building His tabernacle, not one that is made by hands, but by the Holy Spirit, which is the body of Christ. He has given to us, who are believers, the command to go into the world, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are called to respond to this great commission to participate in His redemptive plan for the world through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. How are you participating in this call? We can trust Him to provide all the resources that we need to build this body of Christ. The question that we need to ask ourselves is, what can we contribute to His service? What skills, talent, and time can we offer God in serving this body of Christ? How are we stewarding the financial resources that God has blessed us with for the building up of His kingdom? Each one of us are called to make our individual contribution both financially and in service, with purpose and joy, because God loves a cheerful giver. God provides for us providentially by giving us the Holy Spirit to instruct, to guide us with all knowledge and wisdom in the truth. The Holy Spirit is a far better teacher than any human agent, but He can work through human agency. The question is, do we follow His instructions carefully or do we go our own ways? God provides much more than enough for us. He gave us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us. His blood cleanses us from all our sins. And through the penalty that Christ has paid for our sins, we have reconciliation with God and eternal life in Christ for those of us who believe in Christ. What Christ has done for us is much more than enough for our salvation. There's no need to add one more iota of work on our part. We can simply rest in the accomplished work of Christ. The gift of salvation is far more precious than anything else we can gain on earth. But even in this present life, the Apostle Paul could testify in Philippians 4:19 as one who had gone through persecution, suffering, and hardships. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God's provisions are the things that will enable us to carry out his work, his supplies, much more than enough. God's plan will be accomplished. It is unstoppable. Are you a part of God's plan? If you are not a believer yet, would you consider Christ today? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are our sovereign God, our protector and provider. In Christ, we have much more than enough to live life to the fullest with the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, knowing that we are in the arms of your sovereign love and care. Help us to express this joy and this confidence in our daily living, that we may lift Christ up, that he may draw all men to himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.